Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Bonjour, ça va? It's your boy Ty Roxon once again, and today's episode is with Mr. Dan Pearson. Now, Dan, he's doing something interesting. So he's the founder of Bolt Collective. Bolt is like this new membership community for travelers as they pull their money to access a lot of interesting and sometimes seemingly impossible travel experiences. I really enjoyed sort of diving into his story because he is the definition of unconventional. You know, he was at Lyft, he left Lyft, he's done so many things that maybe people would say you're crazy for, but you know what? That's made his life so much richer. And we bonded over that idea of doing different things and understanding that we only get this life once. So if you want for adventure, if you want to try something new, check out the episode and reach out to me via Twitter or Instagram at Ty Roxon. Love to hear from you. Enjoy the episode.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. Today's guest is Dan Pearson. Dan's passion is the creation of superlative live experiences. So he's basically someone that has this professional background in the production of events with brands like Airbnb and the Rockefeller Foundation. He's also the creator of Subway Sets, a sold-out concert series bringing New York's best underground musicians up to rooftops above the city. And previously, Dan worked in growth marketing and technology with companies like Lyft, the Collaborative Fund, and Gettable. He has been described by his friends as an adventure junkie, someone who's always out to make sure people maybe extend whatever is out of their comfort zone, but all for the betterment of their life and experiences. So I'm really, really excited to talk to you about his company called Bolt Collective. Welcome to the show.
Fantastic. I'm thrilled to be here.
Pleasure is mine. So before we get into Bolt Collective, before we get into why you like to push people out of their comfort zones and give them creative experiences that they might not have experienced anywhere else, who are you and what made you you?
Sure. Well, listening into that introduction kind of reminds me of several of the past lives that I've had that all seem distinct and kind of very separate from each other. But it led me to this kind of moment that I'm at now. But I grew up in New York City and kind of after high school, spent some time traveling to Alaska, New Zealand, moved to New Orleans for what ended up being the day before Hurricane Katrina. So I had to evacuate and ended up going to 3 colleges in 3 semesters. And that really set me off on this very nomadic experience and life path. After college, moved down to Argentina. I was doing some freelance writing at the time, realized that there were a lot of Americans my age that had moved down there to teach English, but those opportunities weren't really available. So I started hiring other folks to create web content. This was back in about 2008. So developed an agency servicing U.S. clients, but with the folks that were actually creating the content, being based in places like Argentina and Thailand. I spent a few years doing that before getting really interested in technology and startups. And that's when I moved to San Francisco and worked for companies like Lyft, the ride-sharing company, what I call the friendlier ride-sharing company. we don't have to get into that.
I mean, yeah, I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but yes.
You know, I know all your listeners are Lyft fans. I know that. They're not taking Ubers. the dark side. But yeah, spent a bunch of time working in technology, some time working in venture capital, very much focused on companies that were at the intersection of for profit and for good. So other companies like Kickstarter, and they were investors in Kickstarter, investors in Lyft, Blue Bottle Coffee, TaskRabbit, a lot of like design focused, sharing economy focused companies. But then in 2014, man, I was working at Lyft. I love my job. I love the people that I worked with, but I started taking 30-minute long walks during the day, and I started taking hour-long walks, started taking 2-hour long walks. And I just realized that it was not for me working in that kind of more structured environment. And I quit that job, and 2 weeks later, I was riding my bicycle across the country from Washington down to Florida. So yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, that was kind of the start of maybe another phase of my life. But I've you know, been both, I guess, blessed and cursed to do a lot of different things. And but it's all led me to what I'm up to now, which is really exciting stuff. So.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I told you he was a man of adventures, and here you go, taking long bicycle rides across cities. That's quite the experience. I want to dive into your travel background. I love that. I love when people travel. I'm very curious about what you learned about yourself in all these countries. You've been to over 50 countries, so, and you've been to several continents. So I'm just curious, what have you learned about yourself, and what have you learned about the world as you traveled?
Yeah, that's a great question. And a lot of my travel has been very solo, kind of adventure based. Whether it's, you know, these bicycle tours, multi-month bicycle tours around New Zealand and across the U.S. And I had this crazy idea after my U.S. bike tour to walk across the island of Cuba right after the detente between the United States and Cuba that Obama put in place at the end of 2014. So much of it has been very individual, very solo, kind of put yourself into situations and figure out a way to thrive. And that's really, I think, one of the most exciting things about travel is the spontaneity of it and the serendipity of it. And when you find yourself in situations where you have an opportunity to either shut yourself in and become insular and become kind of an island, you know, among the ocean, or you can open yourself up and to the universe and to opportunities to meet new people and have new experiences. And I think one of the things that, you know, I guess to get back to your question, I'm rambling a bit, but to get back to your question, I think it's cliche almost to the point where I'm embarrassed to say it, but everyone everywhere has the same goals and the same ambitions, and they want to improve their own lives, and they want to improve the lives of their children particularly, and give their children more opportunity. And I think of all the places that I've traveled, that stuck with me, that people are genuinely, you know, 99.99% of the time very kind and accommodating and generous, and we're all looking to have the same kind of opportunities.
No, I mean, that's good. I love hearing people's perspectives, because I think a lot of times we don't realize how big the world is. And I love being the minority everywhere I go, just because of the perspectives I can actually get. So sure. I was just curious to hear yours.
Yeah, absolutely.
You had an ill-advised 500-mile walk across the island of Cuba.
Oh, boy.
Why was that?
Really have to talk about that.
Hey, I read about it.
No, you're right.
Why was it ill-advised? I'm so curious.
Yeah. Man, I mean, that could be the whole, I've thought about that a lot. So, you know, I quit my job at Lyft, and my entire identity, I'd left everything behind: apartment, girlfriend, great job at a super hot startup, all that stuff. I'd left that all behind. And my entire being, really, and my identity and how I thought of myself and how I wanted others to perceive me was based on being this guy that was riding his bicycle on this mission across the United States. And I was so wrapped up in that. And I got to New Orleans, and I had a bit of a, and I still hesitate to even call it spiritual or cosmic or random coincidences, but this string of events that basically led me to understand that my time on the bicycle was over. And all of that, this kind of sequence of really what seemed to me at the time, and even in retrospect, very powerful experiences, all culminated in this realization that the bicycle ride was over. And at the very exact same time, the easing of relations between the United States and Cuba happened. And I before I'd started this bike trip, I'd said, you know, if I have the money and I have the motivation, I'm going to Cuba. I'm going to find a boat going to Cuba from Key West, and I'm going to spend some time in Cuba because I'd always wanted to go. So when Obama and Raul Castro announced that reconciliation brokered by the Pope, who's, you know, I'm not Catholic, but I have tremendous respect for him, and the work that he does to bring peace, around the world. I was like, okay, I'm going to Cuba. And I immediately went to the office, the State Department office in New Orleans, and I renewed my passport. I couldn't really tell them that I was going to Cuba, so I had to make up a little bit of a story, and this is being recorded, so I won't go into too many details, but anyway, very soon after, found myself in Cuba, ditched the bike, and was like, you know what, I'm going to have – I felt like I wanted to slow down even further and go from 8 miles an hour riding a bicycle to 3 miles an hour walking.
Oh my God.
And it was a very powerful experience, and I made so many friends along the way and had so many kind of realizations. And the Cuban people, maybe some of your listeners have had a chance to visit Cuba and meet Cuban people and get a sense of their tremendous intelligence and creativity, and you know, in somewhat challenging situations because there just isn't what you and I traditionally think of opportunity there. But anyway, would have probably, in hindsight, been better to be on a bicycle or other alternative modes of transportation, because there just isn't any culture for that kind of adventure travel in Cuba. And I ended up getting detained by the Revolutionary National Police in Cuba. And they were very friendly at the end of it, but it was about an 8-hour ordeal that kind of questioning about if I had been in the military and whether my phone had GPS and what my parents did for a living and where they were from, and just about 8 hours of pretty intense questioning. And it kind of made me realize that, like, that part of the journey was over.
Yeah. No, I can imagine. I mean, I'm actually glad you shared that, because, you know, you talked about just the whole full experience of what travel is, and, you haven't painted, a full positive or negative. You just talked about it can be anything. It is what it is. But I like how you still had a positive experience. It doesn't sound like that has actually caused you to stop traveling. I think, it's fascinating for me to see, because I've also had friends who've had similar experiences and they've gone the reverse. Like, that's it, I'm done. But I think what you are doing is actually much better, because that's just what life is. You know, you have to understand that every opportunity brings a teachable moment. So what have you learned from that? And be able to see the bigger picture beyond.
Sure. Yeah. And there are so many inspiring examples. You know, the first one that comes to mind is that woman, or a girl, really. I think she was about 14 years old, loved surfing. I think it was in South Africa or maybe Australia. You know, has her arm chopped off by a shark, and she, 6 months later, is back in the water because that's what she loves to do. And, like,
Absolutely. You
can frame these things in such different ways. And I've had, you know, some super challenging times, and I've had some successes, but, you know, like, I know some of your listeners are also entrepreneurs, and, like, I think, you know, you could look at entrepreneurship in the same way, right? You could say that, like, you know, the lessons that you learn and the mistakes that you make help you to become a better businesswoman or businessman, and to help you kind of, you know, weather that roller coaster of ups and downs. So I think, you know, perspective is a great tool for sure.
Absolutely. And now You are basically gathering experiences for the diverse, the curious, and the intrepid members of the world. What is Bolt Collective?
Sure. So it draws on all of these experiences that I've been lucky to have across the world and with so many different people. So our goal with Bolt is to bring a community of really exceptional people together and use their collective purchasing power, so pool their resources to unlock travel experiences. So that's a lot to unpack, but I'll start with that idea of collective purchasing power. So, you know, there's an old African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, travel alone. If you want to go far, travel together. So we're kind of riffing on that idea of, like, when you bring a really committed, awesome group of people together, you know, how far can those people go? And a lot of it is around these, what I call, like, otherwise impossible travel experiences. So a great example, I just got back to frigid New York from the BVIs, from being down in the British Virgin Islands. And we, you know, we're on the phone. I'm on the phone with these charter companies down there saying, hey, you know, we're looking to rent 4 boats at the same time. And we're looking for something like a 40% volume discount, right, on behalf of this travel collective. And what that means is, you know, that's an experience that is pretty exclusive and kind of you'd think would be for folks who, you know, are able to afford more luxury experiences. But, you know, I'm negotiating that 40% discount on behalf of the collective. That takes an experience that normally might cost $2,000 and drops it down to about $1,200, right? And that's per person. So what that does is it, you know, it opens up and makes that kind of experience accessible to members, you know, in our community that are as diverse as, like, you know, folks who are teachers and social workers. And I mean, I'm doing this interview from my buddy's office. He's a pretty successful, very you know, a startup CEO that has raised, you know, tens and twenties and, you know, millions and millions of dollars. So our membership is very diverse, and that brings me to kind of the second part of it. So the first part being, like, okay, we're trying to bring, like, kind of very thoughtful design to these this group travel experience. So the second part of that is the community itself and, like, what that looks like and who's a part of that. And I think there are some great examples and of communities, even travel communities, that are really focused on, like, networking and business and who you know and how much money you make and what you do for a living. I think that's great. And, like, folks who are looking for that, I think they have great places to go. Like, Summit is a wonderful example of, and I have so much respect for the ambition of the folks that work on things like Summit. But I'm really, you know, more interested based, and this is based on my travel, really more interested in thinking about, you know, are we bringing together curious, adaptable, adventurous, interesting, like, nice, you know, are these folks who are joining, are they just nice people, right? Like, I want to surround myself with kind, nice people. And are they folks that, you know, you'd want to sit next to on a plane for 8 hours? So that's, you know, what's really the challenge, I think, is identifying, and that's obviously super subjective, and we hopefully have a thoughtful way to kind of screen and find those folks and bring them into the fold. But so that's, you know, the overarching idea is you have this community of really great people, you bring them together, and you unlock these otherwise impossible travel experiences.
Yeah, no, I love that so much. And yeah, no, there's a lot of talk about group travel, and I've always thought that experiential travel is one of the best type of things, but you do 12 plus unique experiences a year.
Yeah, I call it, you know, man, I call it group travel for people who hate group travel, because the idea of, like, okay, it's 8:30 a.m. everybody get on a tour bus and we're going to see, like, that is, like, that's my idea of, like, my worst nightmare.
That's your worst nightmare.
100%, man. That, like, literally, like, I have to put on, like, a sweater because it just gave me a shiver down my spine. So this is very much, like, you know, they're typically 1 week long, these experiences, and within each experience, there are what we call ventures. So every day there's one venture, and it's totally optional. If you feel like joining that day, that's great. But if you feel like hanging out and drinking beers on the beach, you know, that's totally fine too. But basically every day presenting an opportunity to join other members that are on the specific experience. Like in Mexico, for example, we were down there over New Year's in Oaxaca, down on the beach on the coast of Oaxaca. And like, you know, every day we'd have a different venture, and that venture could be, a friend of mine runs a Temescal, which is like a traditional native sweat lodge. So we brought the group into the sweat lodge for a ceremony. Another day we chartered a boat and went out, to go whale watching. And we went out to this private beach, where we like had, you know, a great lunch and kind of in this like private cove. Another day, I mean, a lot of the time we're just hanging out on the beach playing spike ball, you know, but, so introducing kind of what I hope are very surprising, delightful moments within each experience, but there's like, while still being open to the serendipity, of travel and like meeting new people and being very kind of open-minded. So that's the hope. I just, the group travel thing for me is like such a beast. I hope we're bringing.
We will not use that word again. This is not
good travel. Not at all.
This is experiential travel for people that hate group travel.
Exactly. So where do I sign up?
You sign up at bulkcollective.co/trips. We'll make sure we put that in the show notes. But the reason why I was talking about that is because I know one of my favorite experiences ever. I don't know if EF trips are a competitor to you, but this was back in college for me, and it was like a business course, and I was like, it's a business course, but we get to go to like three countries. Like, yeah, just sign me up. And so it's one of those trips where you just go for 2 weeks and then that's the course. And I went there. I didn't know what to expect. And it was easily the best experience of my life because these were people that I'd never necessarily interacted with before, but they've become lifelong friends. And I want to say that to the audience that a lot of these experiences, they actually do end up forming bonds that you might not have ever even thought about, because you bond over the fact that you're the only ones that might have a shared language. You bond over the fact that you're experiencing new food together, new music together, and you learn a lot about what you can do outside of your comfort zone. So I would always encourage people to do that. And I see that you've got ski houses trips coming up. You've got Private Island in Honduras, Anola, New Orleans. You know, you've got a bunch of different types of unique experiences, and you have various types throughout the year. So anyone can just sign up on your website, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's, that alludes to the application process that I mentioned. I hate to call it an application process, and I need to think of a better word for it. But, really like we're obviously everyone, you know, I'd encourage anyone, really regardless of background or what you do or anything like that, to apply, because, you know, I'm laser focused on building a very diverse community and obviously.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Diversity comes in so many different forms and fashions and stripes and colors. The other, you know, thing that we're kind of riffing on and experimenting with that I think is worth noting is all of the experiences are at cost. Like they're nonprofit, right? So let's say there are 17 people that come on an experience and it costs $17,000 total for the collective to produce, at a very high level. It's going to be $1,000 per person, right? So there's no profit motive on the experiences. And actually, it's been interesting. Like in Mexico, for example, we ended up sending money back at the end of the experience because we just hadn't spent all the money. So we just divided that equally. And kind of it was a nice little New Year's gift for folks who, you know, 4 months before had sent some cash to you know, reserve this experience. And at the end of it, you know, January 1, they're starting out with a couple extra $100 in their bank account that we'd sent back because we just hadn't used all their money. So the organization itself is supported by membership dues. So the experiences are at cost, and then it's $300 a year to join the collective and have access to those experiences and our Facebook group and like local meetups. So that's kind of the bit of a twist on the standard, you know, business model, but it's necessary because, like, you know, instead of doing it on like a per trip basis, we're trying to get, you know, the right folks bought in early so that, you know, like we can take the time to screen, you know, screen people. And that's another word that I don't really love, but I guess like have a chat with people. It just all makes it sound like a job interview. It's like an extremely casual process where, like, you know, you tell us a bit about yourself. We have me and the prospective member have a quick chat, and then just so I can answer any questions, and then they speak to a current member just to get an idea of like 360 degree fit. Just make sure it's all simpatico. Okay. So yeah. Anyway, it's an experiment. That's what I like to tell people. It's an experiment.
Well, if you want to know, Dan, don't mention group travel, screening, application, anything.
Find better words. Somebody help me with better words. Somebody who's a smarter, more kind of savvy, more authentic branding person than me. I'd love to hear from you.
No, I absolutely love this, and yeah, I love experiments like this, and I love the fact that you're taking a gamble on this. You know, you're twisting, you know, or you're remixing an idea that's been there for a while. I'm curious though, what is your motivation behind this? Why do you feel like you need to do this?
That's a great question. So for the moment, at least, and really for the foreseeable future, we're capped at 300 people, right? Because I feel like that's the number where I think I can, you know, both myself and the current members who are increasingly becoming more involved in steering this community and deciding what it wants to be. 300 members feels like a place we can get to where it's sustainable, but it's also kind of controlled and like we have a good idea of what's happening, right? So 300, you do the math, 300 times 300 is 90K a year, right? Which is, you know, I have kind of other things going on too that bring in, you know, I'm a pretty transparent guy, so I'll just lay this all out for everybody but the IRS that's listening. yeah. So that's 90K a year. I've got some other stuff going on that brings in income, but like that's where I feel like, okay, if I'm devoting most of my time to this, that's like the baseline number I need to hit to like sustain my lifestyle in New York City, right? So anyway, all that to say, like none of this is going to make me a millionaire anytime soon. And I've worked at companies that grew so quickly and raised $250 million in venture capital and all of these kind of very informative experiences that, you know, make me very comfortable saying that like I'd be thrilled if I can create these meaningful, awesome experiences for you know, my friends and my family, and then beyond that to their friends and their family, and beyond that to, you know, strangers on the internet that might hear me on this podcast. If I can do that while building like a sustainable lifestyle for myself, I mean, that would be a dream come true. So, you know, it's a blend. Like, you know, it's exciting to build a business, and obviously I want to, you know, find a way to support myself and sustain like the organization, while also creating some pretty powerful relationships and really, delightful experiences for people around the world.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. No, the thing that I love about you and thing that I connect with you on is, you're not afraid to take risks. I think too many people in the world choose comfort over courage. Right, you know, the lift story you expressed is something I identify with. You know, I've quit a job to move to New York City. Even the Cuba experience, that's something else that people don't normally do. But I know that a lot of people listening, and a lot of people in the world today, they do stuff that they hate. They make careers out of jobs that they out of jobs that they never even imagined for themselves. So I'm curious as to what you can tell that person out there, that aspiring entrepreneur, that aspiring traveler, who is just crippled by limiting beliefs and just doesn't want to break out or doesn't know how to break out because they've somehow convinced themselves that being safe for now is the best thing for their lives.
Oh man.
I know I put you on the spot there, but you
No. I have advice and I have thoughts. There's a lot of different ways I can. All right. So you may have given me too much credit, but one of the things that I've never been afraid to do, both to kind of my overall life success, but also the things that I've made some really terrible decisions, but all that to say, I've never been afraid to throw myself off of cliffs. And by that, I mean, when I wanted to get into startups in San Francisco, I talked to the CEO of a company on a Tuesday. I packed all my shit. I packed my stuff and my motorcycle and my dog. I packed it all into a pickup truck and drove from Colorado to San Francisco on a Thursday. And I started work that Friday morning for an unpaid internship, right, in the most expensive city in America. And I just, like, I've never been afraid to just throw everything away and start something new when the old thing didn't feel right. And like, I've had a lot of success with that, but I mean, man, that's, whew, I can't tell you, you know, the pain and like challenges that has caused me over the years. And like, I mean, man, being dead ass broke, you know, living in my mom's basement, I mean, being super depressed with thinking that like, you know, there weren't going to be any opportunities, whether it was entrepreneurship or getting a damn job, you know, because like I'd left industries and careers behind, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, all that to say, I've never been afraid to throw myself off of cliffs. I mean, I'm very lucky in that I try to keep my footprint, extremely, extremely light. I mean, I don't have any kids, you know, I'm not married. I live in a 160 square foot apartment in Brooklyn that costs $500 a month. you know, like I keep my footprint very light. Which means that I'm able to take a lot more risks. I mean, I think that folks who maybe have more responsibility, and I mean, like, God bless them, you know, cause they're living a bit of a different path. I mean, I think the side hustle thing, you know, which I know you talk about a bunch, and I really like Chris Gilbo's work there. I mean, you don't have to quit your job, you know, and like, certainly I've been in situations where I'm working at a full-time job in the past and I'm like, man, this sucks. Like, I'm not having any success either from like a personal standpoint or from a business standpoint. Like I've worked at startups that just didn't work, you know, that we raised millions of dollars and built products and nobody used them because nobody wanted them. Right. And like, that's not a great feeling. So like in those situations, I mean, I think if you can find even small ways to get little wins and, you know, and maybe that's, I don't know, starting your own podcast on something that you're interested in. And, or maybe it's, you know, like whatever, starting a knitting company, if you're really interested in like embroidery, right? There's a million different things you can do that don't require you to quit your full-time job. And, you know, that's something that I probably wish I'd been a little bit more proactive about doing when I was, I mean, you know, I couldn't even tell you last time I had like something like a great health insurance policy, or, you know, I mean, a paycheck. That sounds like a distant dream. So, you know, I think that there's opportunity to do a lot of things at the same time if you're really passionate about your goals and your aspirations.
Yeah, no. So I love how you said that, because there are different types of people, the people with different responsibilities, the people with different, you know, things that they have to deal with. But the number one thing that everybody does have is a passion, whether it's been hidden or whether it's been acknowledged, right? So the idea of really becoming close and one with what it is that you feel like you're meant to do on earth is one thing that I'm fascinated and obsessed with. And I firmly believe that you can do that with a spouse, without a spouse, with kids, without kids. And I think that ultimately makes you the best version of yourself because you're showing up as your highest self. It's, you know, self-actualization in its highest form. And what I was,
100%.
Yeah, Yeah, and what I was gathering from you, you know, regardless of where you live or who you are, is the idea of taking action, right? That's what I was talking about when people choose courage over comfort. I mean, you with this company, I love how you said it's an experiment, right? You're always candid about what you're doing. But I am 100% certain that all these things, you know, I read your bio and I'm hearing you talk here. All these things are going to continue to lead you down to what it is you ultimately are put on earth for. And that's just the process. That's how everybody's life goes. So, that's what I'm hearing. I'm not.
No, you're 100% right. And I think like I don't even want to say the older I get, because that ties it to age, which is I'm 31. I've been on this planet for 31 years. So I don't want to connect it to age, because that's a number. What I would connect it to is the number of experiences that I've had, in the very like holistic kind of sense of that word. And the more of those experiences I have, and experiences are everything from, in this context, everything from jobs I've had and girlfriends and relationships that have both succeeded and failed, and places I've lived and travel that I've done, all of those things, increasingly I view them as just waypoints in a journey, and I try to look at them objectively. And like, the more of them you have, the more I should speak for myself, the more of them that I have, the more I realize that the things were that didn't work out and that I thought at the time were irreparable, those all were just a spot on the road. They were something that happened, and like, they really helped me navigate to where I am now, which like, I feel like I'm on the precipice of something that is very big for me. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of excitement around it. And, you know, I'm working probably harder than I've ever worked in my life. And hopefully this is something that, you know, will succeed. But even if it's not, and God, I hope it does, because I feel so good about it. But if it doesn't, like, more than ever before, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take this and I'm going to apply it. And like, I hope I never have to go, you know, get a traditional job again, because I'm not cut out for it. I'm not good at it. I maybe wish that I was, because there's a lot of positives that come out of having a job, but it's not for me. But, you know, even if I did maybe have to go get a job, or I had to, like, I'm like, all right, I could take this experience and hopefully reference it and put it into a bit of a more constructive paradigm, even if, whether that's this failure or, I mean, I worked on a company before this for a year and a half that, I mean, it's not in my bio because it went out of business, you know, it mm-hmm. failed. And I put, God, man, so much money and credit card debt, and time and emotion into it. And it's, I mean, it's just gone now. It's like, so yeah.
Dude, I, you know, I feel like I connected a lot of everything you said, and I've been fired twice. I've had the experience of not eating and being broke in New York City. Exactly what you mean. I've quit a job. I'm also a foreigner, so I've done things on the riskier end where you might not have a visa and you still quit a job because you're like, nope, that's not what I'm going to do. So that's why I really love that idea of just being unintentional about what it is that you want to do. And for me, I mean, ever since I was 10, I'm going to make an impact in some way in the world. I came from 2 military dictatorships. I'm going to show people how to really connect across cultures. And I was like, I'm going to figure it out. I don't care if anyone's telling me I'm too young and all that. And I've made so many mistakes, right? And then at the same time, those mistakes have made me better. So that's just, I mean, why I love stories like yours, because a lot of times I think success stories are told without these ingredients. And many people just think, oh my gosh, that just overnight story. I mean, even anyone, whether it's Richard Branson or all these successful people, you look back and you dig deeper, you know that there were elements of risks, but they were unapologetically themselves. So, yeah.
I mean, I left Lyft, and this is, you know, when I talk about throwing myself off a cliff, literally I left Lyft right before my stock cliff, right? My option cliff, where like, ooh, I would, you know, walked away with, I don't know, I mean, I call it for a round number, probably about $50,000 or $60,000, right? In stock, which, like, I mean, now that Lyft is crushing Uber, I mean, maybe that'll be worth like a couple hundred thousand dollars. But I left right before that. I left about 2 months before that because I was just like, I'm so over it, you know? And like, I'll tell you, man, maybe 8 months later after, you know, my bicycle ride and after that walk across Cuba, I was unemployed. I was dead ass broke, you know, didn't have enough money to pay attention. And I like was walking in San Francisco, literally in DeBose, in DeBose Triangle, literally just taking my fist and just slamming it against my head. I was so upset with myself for leaving that job and leaving that comfort and that, you know, big paycheck and the status of it and the excitement of it. And I was so, so upset with myself. And like, you know, I mean, I never would have thought at that moment that I had to have left that job for it to get me to where I am now, which is so much more excited about what's happening in my life. So, you know, I think like, yeah, I mean, you just, the perspective is just huge, man. The perspective is huge, and there's failure and like, you know, yeah, you got to have the failure to make the success taste sweet, you know?
Yeah, love it, Dan. Love it, Dan. This is good. This is another reason why you should follow him, man. You know, people don't just follow companies, they follow people. And definitely check him out. Check out what he's doing at Bolt Collective. It's boltcollective.co, right?
Yeah, boltcollective.co.
.co, okay. I always say co, but it's CO. You're right. I don't know why I do that.
It's funny. Yeah, boltcollective.com is a group of women out in Portland that have a group of like hair salons, which is genius because like Bolt's like Bolt Cutter. Yeah. So I love them, but they're .com, we're .co, .co. We're on Instagram at bolt_collective. We have Twitter. Facebook is just Bolt Collective. You know, you can search for us there on Facebook. And yeah, I mean, I you know, again, like what I'm super focused on is creating this diverse community of really exceptional people, and that takes so many different formats and shapes. You know, if you kind of fit that very abstract kind of framework of someone who, you know, is adaptable and adventurous, and you're just a really nice person, I'd love to get to know you, whether it's in the context of Bolt or something else. Those are the people that I'm looking to fill my life with, and hopefully I can share some of that same love, because I'm out here you know, trying to do it and trying to support, trying to support other folks as well. So it's a great time to be alive.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I can't let you go without asking this question. I ask all my guests this. It is my mission statement. Use your difference to make a difference. So how do you, Dan, use your difference to make a difference?
So, I mean, I'm all about the abundance, right? I mean, I think that like the more good we put out into the world, the more good comes back to us, and it comes back to us in very, very different fashions and different ways, and sometimes you might not even, you know, recognize it as so. But I mean, I try to spend at least a couple hours of my day making introductions to, you know, folks who might be looking to get out into the workforce for the first time, or, you know, people who are starting businesses, and how, you know, I might be able to connect them to other, you know, people who are a bit more kind of further along on their path. So, I mean, really, man, like I'm just trying to put out as much kind of good vibes, and good work out into the universe. And like, I think it's a more happy way to live, and it's a more fulfilling way to live. And I think like it's pretty magical how you know, how the universe provides and kind of everything is connected. Not to sound like a total hippie that like just dropped acid at Woodstock, but you know, I think the universe provides, and I want to put as much positivity out into it as I can. And I've seen in so many myriad ways how it comes back, and it's a really special thing.
Yeah. No. I love this, man. Thank you for spending, you know, about 40 minutes or so with us. I appreciate that. We'll definitely make sure we put all your information in the show notes, and hopefully we get some more people sharing these experiences with you.
Cool. Yeah. I'm so thankful to be here, man. I super appreciate it, and super appreciate everybody's time for listening in. Thanks so much.
Pleasure's mine. And ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.